Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasures,
new
planetary
mind
control,
Out there.
It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Ken Berg has been a professional psychic detective, intuitive, and ghost investigator for 20 years now. His psychic ability is clairsentience. It's clairsentience, or the ability to detect energies or ghosts around, which you cannot see with our five senses of sight, sound, smell, touch, or taste. Ken has assisted law enforcement agencies around the world with a variety of cases, including 17 murder suspect identification convictions to date. With that, I'd like to welcome Mr. Ken Berg to the show. How are you doing tonight, Ken?
I'm doing awesome, guys, and I wanted to thank you for having me on the show today.
Oh, well, hey, it's been a long time coming, I have to say, too. It's, you know, you're one of those people, it's we have this like, a certain, I guess you call it, guest, or a person we know, which is, you know, obviously we've known you for a long time, Ken, where we talk to each other every time we see each other, we're like, hey, what's up, how you doing? We hang out and talk, and we just haven't had you on the show yet. You know what I mean? So,
but it's actually good, because there's a lot of interesting things happening with me right now, and it's a particularly good time to come on the show as well, I think.
Good, excellent. So, you know, it's a long time coming, so I'm glad you're here.
Ooh, tell everyone the website.
Oh, yeah, the website. Am I going to get in trouble for this now?
No.
You know, I always forget that, too. You're the master of doing the proper bio.
Right, after the bio you say, and the website is.
Yeah, and I always screw that up. The website is psychicken.com. I'll be nice.
Very good.
Way out of date right now, by the way. I'm getting ready to revamp the entire website, so I'm glad you're kind of talking about it now, because it's going to motivate me. I'm a big procrastinator, and this is going to totally give me the right way to do it.
Yeah.
One of the other things I wanted to thank you guys is, Doug, I wanted to thank you in particular because you and I had a conversation, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago.
Probably.
About psychic ability. And you had mentioned that I was one of the few psychics that you knew that didn't really see auras because you thought, you know, you had, I think, a lot of contact with psychics that had done a lot with aura reading. Well, a couple of things about me is I'm not a visual person, which, as Bonnie had mentioned, I'm a clairsentient.
Mm-hmm.
You really got me to thinking about that, and I had, you know, I'm sort of thankful because being colorblind, everybody's aura would be gray, so it's a good thing that I'm really not.
So my outfit didn't even have to be correlated when we were talking.
No!
I
put together this fabulous outfit. It was colorful, it was gorgeous, and then we started talking, and you just totally got lost on you then. Oh, well, that's okay. I still looked fabulous, just so you know.
you always do look fabulous.
Thank
that's
you.
The thing about you. You could be wearing, you know what, you could be wearing turds, and you'd look fabulous.
Wow.
I have done it.
Especially when you're wearing turds.
But no, it's true. There are people who don't see auras, and it didn't bother me so much as I found it fascinating, because
that's what I remembered particularly about it is that and I was thinking that most psychics really do see auras. I mean, the majority of them out there, but I'm a little bit different than the majority of psychics out there, and that's really what got me to thinking is some of the differences that I have as a professional psychic compared to many of the other folks out there. One of the main ones is not just me being colorblind, but also the fact that I'm one of the few psychics that's a little bit skeptical of other psychics. And that's something I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about today. You know, it's something that I have a background in science. You don't go to college for psychic school. You know, I don't have a PhD in psychicology or anything like that. My background is actually in biology, medicine, and physics.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 3 different type of medical degrees. I was in the military, had done a lot of things before I became a professional psychic. But it's a gift that runs in my family. Because of that, because it's a family-oriented thing, I don't automatically assume that all other people are psychics. I mean, there's quite a few professionals that I think are pretty bad fakes.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, without naming, I mean, that's not your name. I don't think we need to do that. But what are the earmarks to this, though? I'm just curious why you think that they may not be everything they say they are.
Well, a couple of them are that the things that they predict just aren't coming true. There's one particular psychic, and I won't name names, but she predicted that Michael Jackson would be in jail, still not there.
Mm-hmm.
One that pisses me off is that she predicted the Cubs would be winning the World Series 2 years ago, and that didn't happen. And just, I know that she has people ghostwrite her books. She has some really wonderful people being PR folks for her. But just because somebody is an acclaimed psychic doesn't mean that they're a real or a good psychic.
Well,
other ones are people that do like old Victorian cold reading styles. So, for example, without naming names, they would come into an audience situation saying, I sense an aardvark in Anderson. Does anybody know anybody that begins with a letter A? That sort of thing, where they're sort of fishing for something. Now, I know that you guys know who I'm talking about right away without even saying anything.
Yeah.
But here's sort of an interesting test that is related to what that individual does, that this is completely fraud, and it's kind of interesting because I'm going to do this over the phone with you guys without having any prior knowledge of this. This is a trick. It is not anything that's a real bit of psychic ability, and it doesn't always work.
Okay.
Okay, right now, Bonnie, I would like you to choose a number between 1 and 4 and write it down on a piece of paper. I want you to focus and concentrate and send that number to me.
Okay, she's grabbing she's grabbing the pen right now. Okay.
Okay, and tell me when she has the number written down, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to have any clues whatsoever.
Got it.
Okay, we got it.
Okay. All right, she's got the number.
Yes.
I sense that the number is 3. Am I correct?
No.
No, okay. Well, it didn't work in this particular case. 80% of the time, when people are given a choice between the numbers of 1 and 4, they will choose 3.
Okay,
and
well, you know what?
You would expect it to be statistically that it would be 25%, 25%, 25%.
Mm-hmm.
Not true at all. 80% of the people will automatically, or most people will eliminate the ends, either 4 or 1, unless either of those numbers is a lucky number.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually will choose 2 as the alternative. What number did you choose?
4.
4.
4? Is 4 a lucky number for you?
It's just one of my favorite numbers.
It's one of your favorite numbers. And that's the only time when that particular trick doesn't work.
Well, no.
Now, again, I'm glad I told you guys it was a trick. But it's interesting for the audience. I'm wondering if you can do this to your friends, see how many folks actually choose that number 3. It's really fascinating.
Do you have to write this down to do it?
No, you don't have to do it. Usually what I'll do is I'll do it on a bus that when I'm doing the tours and I'm talking about this same subject,
mm-hmm.
people will, I'll have a whole busload of people. I'll pick one person. They turn away and I hold up, 3 fingers. And that's usually how we do it.
Okay.
I do it in that manner.
We'll give you points for being close, at least. I mean, it was 4. I mean, I'm not heartless. But, no, I see exactly what you're saying. Well, the thing is, too, what I was going to mention is, and I find this a lot with psychics, is that there are a lot of predictions that are made. Right, and I think it's just human nature that, if you see a psychic, they go, okay, in November this year, the sky's going to turn, a deep reddish color, and it's going to be really beautiful, right? It's just something really mundane, right? And okay, now there's 300. Let's say November 20th, the sky's going to turn red in Warren, Michigan, here where we do the show, right? Now there's 365 days in a year. And that's a lot of days for you to kind of like forget that stuff. You know what I mean? And I don't really see with psychics, I guess, that, there isn't, and I'm sure I think there are people out there that are like, how do you call it? They're like psychic watchdogs where they'll make a suggestion and these people kind of like write it down and follow it up and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there's an entire website dedicated to one particular psychic. The name of the website, I'm not going to name the psychic, but I'll tell you the website is stopsylviabrown.com. And what they do is they track a certain psychic's predictions, and they find out how accurate they are or how inaccurate they are.
Okay, I still see,
I've been on
high profile.
Website, by the way,
I mean the cat's out of the bag, anyways. So high profile, right there. Of course, you're going to have detractors, right? But I'm talking about across the board. I mean, by no means, I'm not going out after anybody, but I'm just saying there is some accountability. I think too that there are a lot of predictions I've heard been made. And the only person I really have ever seen call somebody out, like, big time, like, in the public, this is what I've heard, was actually Art Bell. with the amazing Kreskin. This was years ago. The amazing.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Actually.
He predicted a UFO sighting over, you know, I think actually over New, you know, where Art Bell was broadcasting at the time in Arizona. I forgot what city he's actually in.
He was in Pahrump, Nevada.
Pahrump, Nevada. Where did I get Arizona from? Okay, Nevada. But
well, it's the next state. It's like 20 miles.
He predicted a UFO sighting. He told Art Bell that he was going to see a UFO over his house at a certain time on a certain date, and it didn't happen. And Art Bell just didn't blow it off and say, forget about it. I mean, the show was really uncomfortable. Because Art Bell said, you are a liar, sir. You are a liar.
Well, really, the thing is the amazing Kreskin, he doesn't...
We've had him on the show before.
We've had him on the show. But he doesn't...
Have you guys really? That's awesome.
Yeah, we talked to him. But he's not...
Well, actually, he talked and we listened.
Well, pretty much, he is 100... But he'll tell you, I am 100% entertainer. These are all tricks. These are not, you know, mental powers or anything. These,
he's a mentalist,
He's a mentalist, and he's... And usually, he found in his experience that if he tells somebody something, right, their mind will make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he told Art Bell, but Art Bell's mind didn't make it happen, and then Art Bell felt gypped. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, but he really went after him on it,
too. Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's what should happen. I mean, if something doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I mean, it isn't going to be the end of the world. We can't fight over small things.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, Ken, I do want to ask you this.
Sure.
You know, concerning psychics. One thing I've noticed, and I've had readings of the same sort, I've heard readings from people of the same sort. One thing I always seem to hear over and over again is it seems like information that, how would you say, you already should know, I guess. Here's an example. A lot of people will always ask, like, you know, if they have a dead father or a dead mother, well, you know, can you contact my father? And, you know, okay, I'm in contact with your father. You know, the drums start the roll and everything in the background. And so what's my father saying? Well, your father says that you need to spend more time with your family. Right? Of course you need to spend more time with your family! That's an obvious thing. We all need to spend more time with our family. None of us do. I know I don't. I should spend more time with my family. I wish I could. I wish I had the time to do it, right? But it seems like that's something that I should already know that I already do know, Ken. But it seems like when it's coming from a psychic in that context, in that situation,
more authority.
It has exactly.
There's a certain level. This is one of the reasons right there why I'm one of the few psychics that I know that uses a notary public when I make a prediction.
Okay.
I have things notarized. One of the most, and the thing is, my predictions are nothing terribly exciting. They're not your Princess Diana's, your 9/11's, but I'm very good with birth and death predictions. Mm-hmm. I'm good with sort of your overall family practice things, but especially good with ghosts and with people that have passed on to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I do better without having a lick of information about somebody and kind of going into it. Now, you guys were able to witness one of the seances that I had done recently in Decatur.
Just a couple weeks ago,
I think it's a little bit different than most other people had. I think that a lot of the seances they had gone to, they heard a lot of generalities in the past, or they're more of experienced to what's called a reading-type seance, as opposed to one which you communicate with people that have passed on to the other side, or pets. I mean, I can be wrong sometimes, and I'm not afraid to admit that. And I've got a funny story for you guys about a time I was wrong.
Okay.
One of the things about me that a lot of people don't know is that I was in the military. I was an elite medic called a Maroon Beret, and I'm very patriotic. Even though I'm very liberal and I'm kind of a crazy fun guy, there's this just kind of a patriotic bend about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really get angry about people that say they're psychics that predicted 9/11. Because I'll tell you what, if you were a psychic and you knew that 9/11 was going to happen and you didn't do something about it, you should be executed as a traitor to the United States.
Okay.
Anybody who says they had vague feelings about it and didn't do anything. Now, I can forgive non-professional psychics, you know, your moms, your postmen, people like that that had kind of an overall ookie feeling on that day, that's forgivable.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the experience to know maybe what those feelings actually meant. But somebody that says they knew or they predicted, I have a problem with that. Now, my inaccurate prediction that I had, and I had it notarized and it was inaccurate, was that there was going to be, and I think it was on, I want to say like June 16th of 2003 in Atlanta, there was going to be an Al-Qaeda type terrorist bombing there, and I called the FBI, and I looked like some nut wacko, and I admitted to the FBI that I did that. I'm like, look, I'm going to sound crazy here. I'm a professional psychic, but what I'm calling you about is that I think there is going to be a terrorist bombing in Atlanta. I don't know exactly where in the city that it's going to be, but I gave them the particular date. And come to find out, not a thing happened. Now, I've had a lot of folks that appreciate me because they know how accurate I can be as a psychic, and they say, well, maybe, you know, it did happen and the FBI stopped it because of your information. I just think I was wrong. I mean, it's that simple. I think that I had a gut instinct, and the instinct wasn't correct in this particular instance. I don't think anybody, because I've never seen an example of it in nature as a biologist, you can't have anybody that's totally one thing, not totally all right all the time, not totally good, not totally evil. It just doesn't happen that way.
Okay.
And I'm more than happy to admit the number of times that I've been wrong.
Mm.
Well, especially in FY. Let's talk about
that. No, you know, Ken, actually, I heard Gene Dixon once say, Gene Dixon was obviously the astrologer to Nancy Reagan, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, right.
She had said something about, because she apparently predicted JFK's assassination and Bobby Kennedy's assassination or something. But
correct.
Was it Bobby Kennedy or... I don't know, whatever his brother was. Anyway, so I'm obviously just rambling.
Yeah, it was Bobby Kennedy.
Excellent. They are, sadly, but yes. They, she predicted both, right? She said, though, in one of her books, I believe, that JFK's, like, that was more like of a prophecy. Like, that was going to happen. That was weaved into the fabric of time, right? His assassination.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, the will of the universe or God or whatever her religion was. And, but Bobby Kennedy, that was an event that could have been, avoided. It was more of just a prediction, right?
Right.
That it could have been avoided. It wasn't weaved into the fabric of time and it wasn't going to you know, it wasn't like fate or anything. It was a different kind, that there's different kinds of predictions is what I took out of that. And so I imagine sometimes if you get a gut instinct, you know, I don't know how you tell the difference between something that's fated to happen or destined to happen versus something that, is going to, you know, be preventable. I don't understand. Because, like, obviously, not all of Nostradamus' predictions are coming true. But then again, you know...
Well, that could also be our interpretations of his quatrains.
Yeah, because he wrote it in code and in rhyme.
Yeah, because he wrote it in code, and it was in a different, you know, language. It's so different than modern French.
Yeah. He didn't even. I don't think. Did he write? He didn't even wrote. He wrote some of it in provincial and some of it not. It was like a big
Latin. Some of it in French.
It was a big grab bag of stuff to try and code it because of the influences of the time. So yeah, his are going to be obviously very difficult and can apply to different things. But you know, I mean, some things are there gut feelings or instincts or. Clairsentience, which would be, you know, psychic knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some, like, different kinds, like Gene Dixon might have said? Like, maybe something will hit you in the head
absolutely.
And say, you know, ooh,
absolutely.
This guy's going to get a new job. And then you say, you're going to get a new job. And he goes, absolutely not. I mean, it hits you, but it's a different kind of a knowing or something. It could be the kind that doesn't change or the kind that can change or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I guess the best analogy that I have for that particular instance is that, first of all, there are those few and far between things that are just fated prophecies that are going to happen no matter what you do. But I kind of present myself, when somebody comes to me for a reading, for example, one of the first things I tell them is that I'm kind of like Monty Hall, and I'm presenting doors number 1, 2, and 3. So, for example, if I tell you that you're going to get in a car accident when you walk out of the front door of your house, and then you choose to walk out of the back door, you've just changed your destiny. There are other options that you can utilize, but there are some very, very rare instances where things are going to happen, and there's nothing anybody can do to change those. Now, I'm a strong believer that we can kind of control our own fate to a certain extent, but what happens with most professional psychics is you can determine those feelings a little bit better simply by experience, and it's so subjective because each psychic... does things so differently that there's no consistency from person to person. With me, what happens is I actually get a physical sensation. There's a pressure behind my eyes when something is going to happen. I think that it's maybe occurred maybe a half a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
Three of which have been during murder suspect identification cases I've worked on. And I knew, you know, things about the case that, you know, there would be no way for me to know about what had happened. And these were things that were in the past. Now, there are some instances where that's what I'm used for primarily for, like, these murder suspect cases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the uptimes that it's happened had been during gambling. And this is one of the weird things because I'm not, like, a really big gambler or anything. In fact, I'm terrible at it. But there are certain times when I know that, you know, the next roll of the dice is going to be, like a 12, or the next card that comes up is going to be the King of Hearts. I just know it. And I've, you know, a very few times won a great deal of money doing this sort of thing. Now, one of the mentors that I have had, fortunately, was another great psychic on the level of Jean Dixon. Her name was Irene Hughes.
Mm, yes,
Irene
is
the woman
yeah.
who actually brought me to Chicago to work with her at her psychic fairs, and she is the other psychic besides Jean Dixon who predicted President Kennedy's assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a lot with mentoring me, telling me a lot about astrology, especially her system of meteorological astrology that she used to predict the huge blizzard that we had here in Chicago in 67.
Mm-hmm.
And she also used a separate system of astrology to predict Kennedy's assassination. I have seen this woman, and I cannot tell you how amazing it is to have somebody that you know that is a professional psychic go into a casino, and based on a system of numerology that she will not share with anybody, she will go up to a machine, and I've seen her pull out $10,000.
Wow.
Oh, God.
And she, but the money's for hers. There's been people who begged her to tell her how to do it. She's good at it, and I've seen her do it on more than once, so it's been consistent.
Mm. Man.
You know, so it's one of the most amazing things. She's an amazing, amazing
And this is a secret. This is a secret, and she will not release this to anybody, you said.
No. I don't think that she would, nor should she. I think that it could be anything from her own psychic intuition to her system of numerology to whatever, but I know that she's good at it. Amazing lady.
My goodness.
I can't say enough good things about Irene Hughes.
Well, you know, I think we've gotten to the root of that issue then as far as, I mean, and I think a lot of it may be perception with these things. You know, you guys mentioned Nostradamus a second ago. I kind of kicked back and let Doug go at it with you. And, you know, you guys mentioned Nostradamus. I think, and Doug, you know, tell me what you think on this, too. I mean, it is perception and how you actually would interpret these things, well, as far as Nostradamus' quatrains, right, Ken? I mean, a lot of it is interpretation. What I see is something Doug's going to see completely different, and you're going to probably see completely different, too. And I think that's where all the debate comes from, these things with Nostradamus, is just that. It's just the perception and how it's interpreted at the end of the day. And if it comes true, it comes true. And then, you know, for one person that says this actually happened, there's going to be another person saying that, no, it didn't happen. What are you talking about? It's just how you interpreted it, right? I'm not saying that they're not true in any way, but I think that's what all the debating and stuff that's been going on for what?
Oh, absolutely. 40, 50 years. The Amazing Randy, I believe, came out with a system that was comparing, or he made a sort of a pseudo-quatrain system that developed quatrains that were similar enough that they could be determined as Nostradamus-like predictions.
Mm.
The only difference, and I think that the reason that Nostradamus has been kept in the popular imagination instead of a footnote in history, is the major predictions that he had made, whether no matter how somebody interprets them, of the three antichrists.
Right. Mm.
Especially with the whole Hister thing, the Hitler, being so close to one another, that I think that one in and of itself, I don't think anybody can sort of fudge around that one. Napoleon Bonaparte, that one's obvious. Now, the third Antichrist, there was people that thought it was, you know, Saddam Hussein. There was other people that thought it was Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been a number of different Islamic leaders.
I think it's George
personally
Bush.
Believe that individual has, you know, from what I've read of the quatrains, I don't think that leader has come out yet.
Is there anything about Michael Bolton in there?
I believe he's the fourth Antichrist.
Yeah, shortly thereafter.
Ken, hang tight for one second. We got to go to break here. When we come back, though, and Ken, if this is cool with you, I'd like to talk more about your psychic detective work, if that'd be cool, for a few minutes.
Sure.
I want to get into that a little bit. Actually coming up here on this break, this is Paranormal News with Bonnie Bent.
Excellent.
I mentioned this before. It's kind of it's a feature of the show now. Halfway through the show, we have Bonnie sends me the file. I put it up on the show for her here, and this is Paranormal News with Bonnie Bent.
Ghostly
Talk!
It's coming. The 7th Annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention will be taking over Louisville, Kentucky, September 26th
all out this year to bring some of the most amazing speakers, vendors, and activities together under one roof at the Executive Inn in the heart of Louisville. For ticket prices, hotel accommodations, and any other info on the 7th Annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention, visit LouisvilleGHS.com.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. Paranormal News is sponsored by the new ebook, Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. Have you ever asked yourself the question, is my house haunted? Looking for a do-it-yourself way to find the answers? This ebook walks you through all the basics. There are also forms that you can fill out to log the activity and your experiences. Is privacy important to you? This new ebook is delivered directly into your email inbox. Receive it within 24 hours of payment and there are no shipping charges. The easy-to-use forms can be very useful in determining any trends in the activity. For more information, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and look for Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. A man in Knoxville, Tennessee says he was so consumed by the Spirit of God that he fell and hit his head while worshiping. Now he wants Lakewind Church to pay $2.5 million for medical bills, lost income, and pain and suffering. Matt Lincoln says he is suing after the church's insurance company denied his claim for medical bills. The 57-year-old has had two surgeries since the June 2007 injury, but still feels pain in his back and legs. He says he was asking God to have a real experience while praying. Lincoln says he has fallen from the force of the Spirit before, but has always been caught by someone. Lawyers for the church say other congregants saw him on the floor laughing after his fall. They say he failed to look out for his own safety. Well, excuse me, but aren't there laws preventing liability for acts of God? If that's not an act of God, I don't know what is. The Snow Hill Inn in Maryland is up for auction, ghost and all. Here's the story from WBOC.
Tarnished silverware and dust-covered glasses are remnants of what used to be a successful bed and breakfast.
Small, intimate rooms, very good food. It's just a nice atmosphere.
But since the 1990s, business declined, and so did the condition of this historic mansion.
I would like to see it completely renovated to keep character that it originally had.
An auction July 25th could bring the inn back to life.
We want to find a buyer that will fit into the community here, which is... this is a very easy community to fit into.
Some people say this house is already occupied by a ghost. And they say sometimes you can see him in that top window.
People have told me they've seen the ghost in the top window in the front. People who have been in Snow Hill for quite a while.
Legend has it a previous owner's son took his life in this house back in the 1800s. Many say they see the figure of a young man looking out the window.
I think it's interesting, the folklore.
But not everyone's a believer.
I think it's legend, right? I haven't seen anything to indicate to me that there's ghost activity.
To auctioneer Pete Richardson, selling a house in today's market is more nerve-wracking than seeing a ghost.
We're in a very depressed market right now. We're hoping there'll be some excitement on the day of the sale, but in this market, it's hard to tell.
Richardson says the legend hasn't kept interested buyers away.
Georgette Jones, daughter of Hall of Fame country artist George Jones and Tammy Wynette, will guest star as the conjured ghost of her late mother Tammy Wynette in the upcoming television series produced for Viacom entitled Sordid Lives. The series will premiere on Logo July 23, 2008. Sordid Lives, the series, which like the play and film, is created, written, and directed by Del Shores, stars Bonnie Bedelia, Rue McClanahan, Olivia Newton-John, and Carol Ray. Throughout the series, there will be several guest appearances, including Margaret Cho, Candace Kane, Carson Kressley, and, of course, Georgette Jones. Here's a small sample of Tammy Wynette.
Stand up, information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vance.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Thanks to Bonnie Vent for doing the news for us.
Excellent.
I like that little feature we have now. It's really cool. She does this. It's her own podcast she does.
Yeah.
But it's only a couple minutes a week. It fits right in. You know, it's great.
Hey, I have a question for Bonnie, actually. Could she relay a message to Dr. Dawn for me?
Oh, to this Bonnie.
Yeah, to this Bonnie.
What message would you like to give Dr. Dawn?
I don't know.
I would like to find out if there's any subliminal messages to Kat in any of the video productions that she's done, because my cat freaks out every time that I play to YouTube. I'm dead serious. The cat freaks out. It just sits there. There's two things my cat likes, and it is the video that was released recently, and a song that I can't say by a group called NWA. Something the Police.
Oh,
nice.
A classic, I have to say. Is there anything subliminal going on?
The Can't Stop the Smile video, is that the one, the musical trailer?
Yeah, I believe that's it.
Yeah. Bonnie?
Does it have Dr. Dawn in a bathtub?
I believe
Cause
so.
Because that's an upscale cat
that's it right there.
All
yes.
over the world.
Cats are terrified by that video.
No, my cat loves it.
Oh, loves it. The opposite.
My cat is fascinated and jumps on top of the keyboard and just bobs its head back and forth. loves that particular cat. I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's the song.
It might be
the song.
I don't know, because I actually thought about that, and I tried it with the sound off, and she still does it, so I think there's a subliminal message.
It's definitely got to be Dr. Dawn.
Maybe there's... I'll ask Dr. Dawn and see if I can find out for her.
Well, she's been ducking us lately. I don't know what her trip
is. I don't know what...
Well,
Dr.
I hate
Dawn's
her,
and
that's
to.
Probably why.
Yeah.
She called the other day, you know, about recipes or something like that. And I was just like, you know, we talked for a few minutes.
Did she talk to your secretary?
She talked to my secretary. Well, everybody talks to my secretary before they
just
call
checking.
Me. I mean, they all my calls are screened nowadays. I'm screened more than Andrew Antone.
What is your secretary? What's your secretary's name?
Oh, my secretary's name is...
Doug.
No. Javier or something. I don't remember.
I don't even know.
I know it's not Amber because there are child labor laws. In
Amber's she's hiding around here somewhere. Yeah, that was the joke on Friday when we talked to Ken. We called Ken up just, you know, the courtesy call we do for Ghost Talk here. And the parting comments from Ken were, tell Amber happy birthday, happy 14th birthday. And the reason being for the listening audience is because my girlfriend, I don't think that way because I see her all the time, but
right.
I guess
she's obviously old enough to drink, but she looks like she's very young.
Yeah, she looks very, very young, so I guess that's a good thing when we get up in our...
That's a blessing.
We get up in our ears. Who's the teenager with you, Scott? You're like 60. So, we were talking before the break about all kinds of cool stuff, and kind of what I wanted to get into a little bit here, if you don't mind, Ken, is the psychic detective work. We talked briefly about it, but I kind of want to get into this. Maybe a case you've worked on, details aside.
There's
a couple cases in particular I can think about that I can tell you without giving away particulars.
Okay, cool.
Some of the stuff that I've done with my psychic detective work, though, has been a little scary on a couple of different angles, and not maybe in the way that you would think.
Okay.
One of the problems that I had come across was that I had been used in two serial killer cases. And I don't want to expand on which ones they were. I don't want to talk about those ones in particular. Another one was mafia-related, and there were actually, they had somehow found out about my involvement with it and had some threats against my life for the whole thing. So I don't want to talk about either of those in particular.
Problem.
But there are two that I can talk about that are very, very interesting cases. Now, one of which, and I've worked with law enforcement all over the United States, I do not, I mean, one of the most common questions, because most people that know that I'm from Chicago, they ask, do you work with, you know, any of the famous cases that are coming around in the Chicago area? I don't, and there's a particular reason why. A lot of my friends are cops and attorneys in the Chicago area, and I might get extra information about cases that I wouldn't seem as objective as I possibly could be, and I may get extra info from my friends about things that I, you know, as a professional psychic, I need to have that distance.
Yeah.
So I don't work on cases in the area that I live in, but I do work on them in other places.
Okay.
One particular case that I could think about happened in the American Southwest, and normally what happens is I'm either flown into the area where whatever the event is, because I don't know if it's a murder, I don't know if it's a missing person, because I tell them not to give me too much information. They usually call folks like me up after the police have done their job and they've sort of exhausted all the regular investigation techniques that you can possibly think of to link up evidence to a potential suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And what they use me for is something that's completely inadmissible in court, but they help me kind of get them to the point where they can get evidence that they can use in court against the person without telling where they got it from. So they do it through legal means.
Yeah.
But they don't bring me up on the stand and say, this is a psychic, he gave us this information. It doesn't work like that.
No, it don't.
One particular case that I had worked on, I had been given some information that a crime had been committed in the state of Oklahoma.
Okay.
And they wanted to get my feedback on it. So I, you know, started in, and the first thing that I could get, and I don't want to say it's an image because that's not exactly correct. I'm really not a visual person. Being a clairsentient is very difficult to describe in that it's like you guys trying to explain to a blind person what the color blue is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's possible, but it's just very, very difficult. So just keep in mind that I'm not getting a particular visual sensation, but it's kind of like a psychic smell, I guess, or a psychic visual thing, but I don't really get that in my mind. It's literally a sixth sense.
Okay.
And what I had detected was that there was a gray color, like a gray primer Ford pickup truck, late 80s, that had been used to haul a body away after there had been at least seven stab wounds in the body. I had detected that there were three people that were directly involved with the murder, one which actually did the murder, two which helped cover it up,
mm-hmm.
Two of which were of Native American descent, and they would be able to find it by tracing or taking a look at the bed of the truck. They would find DNA evidence there. They would also find a silver antler horn necklace, all of which they had found, and they used that to actually convict the individuals. And it's the suspect that they had, and this is something that I had done a long time ago. I want to say almost 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the evidence was very specific, and I know that sounds really weird when I say things like I don't get a visual description, but I told them it was a silver antler horn necklace and gray primer Ford pickup truck. But it's just sort of how it comes across. It's not that I'm seeing the colors, but I know the information. And I guess that's the easiest way to explain it, that I just know what it is.
Mm.
And I can't quantify it. I don't know where it comes from. I'm not a particularly religious guy. I can't say that it comes from God. And I wish that I had a better explanation as a scientist as to where this stuff comes from. But I know when I'm accurate, and I know when I'm not.
Mm.
And that was one of the times I was particularly accurate, and I helped get the conviction on these three individuals.
And again,
and I count that as one case, by the way, not as three. And I'm up to 22, by the way. That's recent since I talked to you guys. I haven't updated that, but I've had 22 convictions as of today.
And again,
but as of recently,
what the psychic is brought in to do? I mean, if they choose to use a psychic on a case, they obviously it's not admissible. The evidence isn't admissible, but it seems like we just give them. You know, you could give them a direction if they're stuck.
Correct.
If they're stumped,
that's what I'm used for.
You know,
it's very similar to what I do in ghost investigations, and really, really good psychics are not the key member of the team at all. There's a lot of people on different ghost teams that think that they're the bomb, that they're the ones that the team is all about. Nothing could be further than the truth. First of all, everybody has psychic ability, just some people are better at it, like some people are better at math or science. It is not something supernatural, which means above and beyond nature, but it is within nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm simply a fancy piece of ghost investigation equipment. If I'm feeling particularly special, I might call myself a FLIR camera. That would be about the best that I could do. But I'm no more important. In fact, I think the researchers, to me, are the most important members of the team. They're the ones who are really doing the grunt work.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get to use the cool gadgets. They're not the psychic that comes in and gets all the glory and, you know, the cool oohs and ahs. But they're the people that do all the real work. And I've got a hell of a lot of respect for the researchers. They're the ones who do the majority of the work.
I think that's the second time we've heard that kind of stuff. Because who was it from Las Vegas, Nevada?
Oh, jeez.
I can't remember her name. And she was...
Cattell? Not Cattell.
No, she's from Canada, I thought.
What would you say Las Vegas for, then?
I thought it was...
Because what happens in Las Vegas stays in Dublin.
Yeah. No. She wants one thing that she's doing is she wants to start like a certification program kind of thing. What is her name?
Nancy Bradley.
Okay, Nancy Bradley. Thank you. Mm-hmm. She was saying that when she goes on investigation, I think it was her.
Yeah.
She was saying that when she goes on investigation, she hates it when she doesn't want people to like be. All hovering around her, saying,
orbit.
Yeah. "What do you hear? What do you feel? You know what?"
Oh, I hate that. I like doing my own thing and going off on my own.
Right, and that's and she's like, "Well, of course, you know, you should go out in teams, though, Ken."
No, but, I like going up on my own.
But
what I
do though that makes it a little bit different is that I want people that are team members within sight and earshot for two reasons. One is that so I'm not witnessing whatever the event is by myself, but more importantly. My job as a psychic is to actually point the people with the tools in the right direction, and I need to have those people nearby. So if I need a temperature reading, and I need it right now, we've got people there that can do that, which is one of the reasons why I wanted so many people up on stage when I was doing the seance, for example.
Well, all
I
can say...
ask, like, Rosemary with her equipment and, you know, with Dale Kazmarek with all the great equipment that he has.
Yeah.
Stan, who was a part of his team, was there, and we had all sorts of interesting folks, and... Every time that I had pointed something out, they got some sort of a reading. I think I'm one of the only psychics that's worked with those groups that when I say there's going to be a spike on EMF, by God, there's a spike on EMF. And I say, come here and look at the temperature. There's something funky with the temperature.
Well, I have to say, when you were doing the thing, there was something moved. You know, there's a gigantic backdrop curtain. Behind everybody, and then there's a space behind that so that you know people who are setting up scenes and stuff like that. If it were really being used as a play,
theater,
then they would you know set scenes and stuff, and they would use the space between the gigantic backdrop curtain and the actual wall. They would use that to run props back and forth and get from side of the stage to the other side. And something moved that big curtain. I mean, like banged on it. And
there was a number of things
there was
that
no
happened
there,
and
what
I'm thankful for, not only was there ghost investigators there, but there was a lot of old theater people there that were freaked out by a couple of things, and it was the shadow figure that had been running around in a variety of places. The lights were the big thing.
The
and
lights
I
were
still
freaking.
Don't know what the heck was going on with the lights, because from the time that I went on stage to the time I got off, there was nobody at that light booth, and you guys saw what the lights were doing. Every time I talked or went to a different area, something had changed, and I don't know of a way to make the lights do that. In a practical way. Now, I'm not saying it's a dead guy trying to communicate with us.
Mm.
I'm saying I don't know what it is. It's an electronic malfunction in the lights that I just don't know what caused it because I don't have enough experience to know.
Mm. Troy
didn't know. Troy was a little, you know, he was interested as well. He's like, I really don't have a good explanation, Ken, because I'm like, you know, asking him, does he have any clue at all what could have caused that? And genuinely, he didn't. And that was one of the more interesting things, because if you guys were there for the band later on that night, well, lights worked fine. When I left the stage, lights worked fine.
There was a... did I mention... I don't know if I mentioned this on the air or not. When the band... When the Spectre Men were playing, this happened. I don't know if you were around for this or not, Ken, or if you heard about it. When the Spectre Men were playing, I was talking with the guys before they played, and they're like, you know, hey... Because we were recording the speakers and stuff like that, for the show here, and I had my laptop and the microphone and stuff up there, and they're like, hey, why don't you leave the microphone on when we're playing, and see if maybe we get something weird? You know, you never know. I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. So when they started playing, I was on the side of the stage, and I walked. There was that. It was like a white sheet behind, you know, at the back. There was the giant curtain you're talking about.
Yeah, the giant curtain.
But there was this like white thing, like framed white. sheet type thing, right? And I didn't know that you could like it was you could see through it kind of. So when I decided to go out and watch them play from you know on the seats, I walked behind there, right, Ken? And at the end of the show, a bunch of people were up there going, "We saw something walk behind you guys as you were playing," and I knew it was me. I knew
right,
it was me.
Right.
And,
oh, that's funny.
And I had, I'm like, guys, you're going to hate my guts, man. And I explained to them, like, you know, it was me walking by. And they're like, oh, damn it, Scott, what'd you do that for?
Well, it's funny. One of the mysterious phenomena that was reported, because I had asked, you know, as many people as I could get a hold with when I was on MySpace the following day, to, you know, if you found anything mysterious about the seance, please forward it to me. I'd like to see
yeah.
and talk a little bit about it. And if you take a look at my MySpace pictures of the conference, you'll notice that somebody had caught a mysterious shadow figure wearing a hat and what looks like a cape in the right-hand corner. Come to find out, what it was is somebody was on stage right. It looked like it was from stage left, and it was just Stan from Dale's team standing in the shadows. It wasn't any ghost. It wasn't a mysterious shadow person. It was just Stan.
Well, yeah, there were people on the sides of the stage, and I was one of them. I should send you my testimony of what I saw, because... Because I know something moved that gigantic, huge curtain. Something. Yeah.
Oh, no, no, there was definitely something going on. I don't doubt that, but there was. I just wanted to make sure that everything that everybody reported, they didn't think was paranormal.
Well, even Nathan. Nathan saw disembodied feet, so...
Nathan saw that?
Oh, yeah.
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 There was a lot of people that were skeptics that saw a lot of stuff during my seance that they had never seen before with...
Yeah.
That sort of event. Now, real quick, though, I want to get back to the cases.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, we got off.
No. It was me.
Start telling us about ghosts, and we're off.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ken. Sorry about that.
So one of the other things is that this is back when I... Well, by the way, and for those of you in the audience who don't know anything about my history, I actually started off... I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan, originally.
Yep.
I then had moved around the United States, traveled around the world, ended up in Detroit, where you guys do the show. In fact, I lived in Warren, Tucky for almost a minute.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you were also, we've talked before, and you were also a bouncer at St. Andrew's Hall, weren't you, Ken?
That's correct.
Which
I am a bouncer at St. Andrew's here in Chicago, at the Metro, at Smart Bar, and at Reptile House.
I may have been bounced by you, then.
Yeah, you may have thrown one of us out, Ken, back in the day.
I wonder. No, I'm not that one.
Well, back then I had long hair down to my butt and wore a leopard print cowboy hat, so I probably would have remembered the leopard print cowboy hat.
No, I was never that rowdy.
So yeah, you've been all over the place, though. So you're obviously in Chicago now. I'm sorry,
right.
we interrupted you again, Ken. Sorry about that.
But I had been when I had started off as a psychic in Michigan, and this was back when I think I was in Detroit, actually. There was a case that I had been working on, and this was one of the only times I got to work with Interpol, which was really fascinating.
Wow.
And they called me up, and they said that there was a case that they wanted me to take a look at because they just had some things that didn't seem quite clear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I had told them, first of all, was that I had sensed that this was a man, and just getting somebody's sexual identity, because you're going to be 50% right all of the time, isn't enough to be anything amazing. But what I told them was this was a man who had faked his own death in a fire, and he had something to do with classical violins, and I'm not really sure what, in that he had taken some instruments and gone to Antwerp, Belgium. And those were the specifics that I could give them, and I said that he had faked his death, he had made his case away. And come to find out what had happened was, and I had no idea that this was the case at all, but this particular guy did fake his death, got away with millions of dollars of classical, like Stradivarius violins, and Antwerp, Belgium is the world capital for fencing stolen classical musical instruments.
Oh!
Wow.
There's a couple cases I worked on where I actually had found out things like that. Another case that I had worked on had been one with a missing painting, and I had found out that Japan is the one, you know, and it was a very similar case where a classical stolen painting that had been missing, and that's one I did here in Chicago, ended up in Japan, and very similarly, like Antwerp, Belgium, Japan is the center for fencing stolen classical paintings because they have the loosest art laws.
Ooh.
Like doing anything with a classical painting is very difficult to do in any part of the world because there are as many people that are amateurs as well as professionals dedicated to finding lost art.
Right.
And so Japan is about the only place that you can get it into a private collector's hands if you're going to be, you know, dealing with that kind of underworld element.
We only got a couple minutes here, Ken.
That's true.
And I want to, you know, we're kind of working backwards tonight, but, and you did mention kind of your history, like where you've been and stuff like that. But one thing, I always like to ask people that do this kind of work, where was it, maybe when was the moment or when was the time or whatever that you realize, hey, I'm seeing and feeling things or whatever it may be.
I
know stuff, right?
Obviously
I was about 5 years old. Okay. One of the things about me is that the men in my family tend to be psychic. It's very rare for men to be psychic, and it usually in our family skips a generation. My grandfather had a gift. His grandfather also had a gift.
Mm-hmm.
As far back as we can trace, we know that it kind of skipped a generation. Now, my grandfather was a very different type of psychic than I am. He was a psychometrist, or a psychic that can read objects. He did it more as parlor tricks and for fun than as a living. He was actually an actor for a living. His name was Don Melvoin.
Mm-hmm.
And he had taught me and had identified the gift to me when I was very young. What had happened was my great-grandmother had passed away, and I looked at my mom I woke up, it was 2 in the morning, and I shook her, and I said, Mommy, wake up, your grandma is dead. And we got the phone call about 7 minutes later when she had found out that her grandmother had passed away.
Oh my God.
That's how they knew that I was going to be the next psychic in the family. It's kind of interesting that it started developing then, and then he taught me some of the basic tricks that I actually use today. There are different techniques because I actually teach classes here in the Chicago at a place called the Discovery Center.
Mm-hmm.
One of my classes is called Psychic Development, and it's my family technique for teaching people how to control and defend themselves in psychic situations, how to turn the gift on and how to turn it off and how to fine-tune it a little bit, which is incredibly important to know what to do so that you don't do things like start giving people readings out on the street without being asked, because that's kind of unethical, you know, with our family tradition. You just don't start giving people information without being asked.
I've often
because you may change destiny that way. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, if you watch enough movies, you know that if you screw around with people's timelines, that you can cause terrible events to happen when you think you may be doing something good.
Mm-hmm. I've often thought that, you know, when we were around a lot of psychics doing the show and stuff like that, and, you know, sometimes I'm not always having the greatest day, and I got some really bad thoughts in my head sometimes, and I've been kind of uncomfortable in situations where I've been like, okay, there's like three psychics standing here, and I'm talking about, you know, I'm thinking about beating somebody's head in with a garbage can. you know, these people must think I'm some kind of nut. You know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, and that's what you teach people, though, is, you know, I mean, not just to walk up to people, obviously, and just read them, you know, out of nowhere.
Well, not only that, but when it's normal for people to have those kind of sick, twisted thoughts, myself included, and, to be honest, all psychics are a couple French fries short of a Happy Meal, myself included. And it wouldn't disturb me at all to find out that, you know, you had some very, very dark, disturbing thoughts. It's very natural for people to do that. What's unnatural, however, is for people to act on it.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I could see you getting upset if somebody hurts your girlfriend or those close to you.
Yeah.
But I can't see you acting on something, just going up to a guy and popping him in the face for no good reason. That just isn't you.
This is just in case.
You know, you are a defender, you're honorable, and you have that sense about you, and I can't see you doing it. Now, would you have dark thoughts? You and me both like metal. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not going to blame it on Ozzy, I'll tell you that. But we listen to that because we're drawn to darkness to a certain extent.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't mean that we're bad guys. Like me, for example, I love reading and researching serial killers. Now, does that mean that I would do anything to harm another living human being?
Yeah.
Not unless it was in the defense of somebody.
Yeah.
Exactly. In fact, one of the things that I don't know if you guys had seen it, but I was an expert that they used here in Chicago for the biography of a serial killer named H.H. Holmes, and it just came out on Friday the 13th last month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very honored to do that because one of the new tours that we're doing at mine and Troy and Adam's company called Weird Chicago is the Devil in the White City Tour. It's one of the new tours that we have that I developed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody called me from Chicago, was it last month,
mm-hmm.
and said, should I go on one of them haunted tours? I'm like, absolutely. Well, what one? And I'm like, do the Weird Chicago one.
Yeah, the best one out there.
I'm like, I think I know somebody who's associated with it, and I couldn't put it together at that point.
Well, we're literally at the top of the day. But one thing else I wanted to mention, though, too, before we do go to break, is at the end of this month, there's speaking of media, right?
Yeah.
There's something else that that's coming out at the end of this month, Ken. Could you clue us into that really quick also?
Sure. Troy Taylor, Adam Seltzer, and myself have written a book called Weird Chicago. And
that'll
be out at the end of the month.
Yeah.
It is going to be the ultimate book of history, hauntings, weirdness, and geeks in Chicago. all the creepy, cool, and dark stuff, anything from UFOs to the paranormal, is going to be in this book. And it's done in a style where there's sidebars where we talk about our personal feelings on things. There's input by our driver, Willie, who's been with us since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it in sort of like an old comic, like an old pulp comic book style.
Oh.
So that when you open up, you're actually going to be seeing, if you take a look at the WeirdChicago.com website, you'll actually see some preview ads of some of the things that we're going to be having in the book, including the cover of the book, which will be there.
Fantastic. Ken, hang on the line for 1 second, if you don't mind. We're sure, literally on top of the hour. Ken, thank you. By the way, thank you for joining us. We've had an absolute riot.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, guys. I really appreciate you letting me on the show.
No.
Dear.
And don't forget, the website is www.psychicken.com. That's
yes,
all run together. No
yes.
Faces. PsychicKen.com, and of course we're in Chicago.
Yeah, we're going to have you come back, Ken, because I know we just kind of scraped the surface. We didn't get into a lot. There's a lot more we can discuss, so we'll have to have you come back on sometime.
I would love to come back on anytime you guys would be willing to have me.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Let's go to break here. Coming up, actually, before that,
Kayla Ambrose.
Kayla.
I think it's going to be Kayla.
You want to put 20 on this and see
what
happens?
Well, that's the thing. We didn't talk to her before the show.
Let's go to break.
All right, we'll go to break here. Coming up, Kayla Ambrose. Jesus Christ. All right, well,
Mystery Schools.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.